Yeah, okay, we're good. Yeah, sorry for the delay. Okay, so tonight I would like to discuss the topic of statute of limitations and halacha, which is something we encountered recently in a case in the Beis Din. To what extent Beis Din has any deference to statute of limitations on civil matters. What does this have to do with Parshas Chukas? So last year in his Parshas Shir, Rav Asher Weiss spoke about Dina de Malchus Adina in Parshas Chukas because of a Yishbi Mandushevi, and that being the Makor for the Din of Kibush Melchama, and Kibush Melchama may have some connection to Dina de Malchus Adina. That might be a little bit of a stretch, but we'll have to talk about whether Dina de Malchus Adina is relevant to the question of statute of limitations, which may be a further stretch. But at least that's our Pesach for discussing it this week, Parshas Chukas. So the question comes up in the context, or the question could come up in the context of an outstanding loan, a claim for back wages or other employment benefits beyond the civil statute of limitations. So what? How does Beis Din deal with such claims? So at first glance, Halacha does not at all recognize any such statute of limitations on collecting loans or the like. There is the Din of Shemitah Ksafim, which we'll talk about in Mirz Hashem Kodesh El, but that has nothing to do with the civil law kind of statute of limitations. That's a special Shemitah Ksafim, Shemitah-oriented Halacha. And there, anyway, you're supposed to say afal tikein and pay back the loan, even if the loan is not requested or the payment is not requested. And we pass in Shulchan Aruch in Siman Sadiches Choshem Mishpat Sif Aleph. Mechaber writes, Seder Gviya Sachov Kachu, how does one collect a loan? Kisha Malva Motzi Sharchov Mekuyim, when the Malva has a properly executed and authentic document that evidences his loan. Omim lalova shalem, we tell the borrower to pay. Afilu shaha kama shanim velotavu, even if many years elapsed and there was no claim of the loan until that point. Ein omrim machal okevin shishal kol kach shanim velotavu. We don't say that there is a mechila of the loan because it wasn't asked for that many years. Even if we hear that there is yeish on the part of the malva, still that doesn't absolve the loaver from his obligation to pay back the loan, and it doesn't make a difference how much time has elapsed. Nevertheless, there is on some level some skepticism in the situation that might be warranted in a situation where a loan is not collected in a timely fashion. Maybe there should be a concern that there is some kind of din meruma going on, some kind of attempt at trickery or collecting something that is not really owed. So this is reflected in a tshuva of the Rosh, Klal Kaf Ches Simin Kaf. The Rosh was asked the following shayla: Reuven hosi shtar shel elef zehuvim al shiva me'an sheyakal. So Reuven pulls out of his pocket a shtar chov reflecting 1,000 gold coins against 7 members of the community. Shtar zeh yesh lo kamo 30 shanim, and the date of the shtar chov is 30 years prior. Lo nishar min alov and mechayim zlasi yachad, and there's only one surviving borrower of the 7. Ulval shtar tevei liyorshe halovin who maniach leechem min alovin shuadayin chayv einotovo, and early on to the shtar, the alleged lender, he's only coming to collect from the inheritors of the deceased borrowers and not from the living borrower. Vayorshim tonim, and the descendants of the deceased borrowers claim, Shabaseyam os yushtar chov zal atzman bavur kal, shekein derek shakal chayavim mam, lishan adam osim shiva mehem shtar al atzman, shein kol akal yicholim la'asos shtar al atzman. Really, this was a communal loan and not an individual loan, and these individuals who were named were simply stand-ins for the community, but there's no personal liability. And the community paid back that outstanding loan many years ago. And if it's a case, that there really is a loan. Why is he 30 years late? And why is he not going to the one living alleged borrower? It must be that he's trying to pull a fast one. So there are many reasons to doubt the authenticity of the claim. And the Rosh writes at the end of this tshuva, if the dying thinks that there's something fishy going on here, so he should recuse himself or he shouldn't get involved in such a din. When people come to me with old documents, so I investigate, it sounds like more than typically, to get to the bottom of the matter. And if I see that there's ground to suspect that there's something fishy going on here, then I will tell everyone to not touch the case and not assist in collecting this loan. So this skepticism of the possibility of Din Meruba in a loan document that has been sitting around for a long time uncollected, and suddenly someone tries to collect it, so that is reflected in Shulchan Aruch. The Mechaber writes in Siman Sadi Chesif Beis, based on this Jewish Arash, a dayan has to do his due diligence in investigating such old loan documents. Why are they only coming now? In the in case there's any suspicion of trickery, in order to get to the upper bottom line. And the Rama writes this as well in Simin Lamed Aleph Seif Tes, that the dayan has to do that kind of due diligence in this kind of a case, to make sure that he's motzi din ms lamita. Shuvah Shvus Yaakov Chela Gimel Simon Kuf Pei Beis Chela Gimel Simon Kuf Pei Beis. The shaila was Ben Echa Shosi Shtarchov Al Nichsei Aviv Misach Dalid Meos whatever the currency was Lacher Moso. So one son pulls out a Shtarchov against the estate of his father. Posthumously, after his father passes away, the Achin told him, "Came in Shashtar Yashin Yosim Mitasvav Shana." It's a 15-year-old document. Below Tavu B'chayi Aviv, no one tried to claim it when the father was alive. Shaya Ashir, and the father was a rich guy; he could have easily paid it back. Ubino Hayav B'Tachlis Oni, and the son could have used the money then. So why is he waking up now, 15 years later, to collect it once the father is deceased? Something fishy is going on. So the Shvus Yaakov thinks that you can't totally dismiss the claim of money owed on that basis, but this is at least reason to try to move towards a pshara, a kind of equitable compromise as warranted by the particulars of the case. So far, we've seen that there is no statute of limitations in halacha on a loan. A loan could be collectible at any time. However, there is some suspicion that could be raised in a situation where there is a long delay before the chov is attempted to be collected, and then the dayanim have to use their discretion to evaluate what is really the bottom line. There is a minhag, however, that is quoted by the Nesivos, Siman Samach Aleph Chidushin Sif Katan Yud Ches. He writes, "V'haminhag shelo legavas b'shtar yashin." He references a minhag not to allow collecting a loan with an old document. So if someone claims I already paid back the loan before it was an old document, that could require a shvua. What is a shtar yashan? What's this old document? How old is old that we would say the minhag is not to be gove? If it's a simple loan document without any iska involved, then it's 3 years. If it's a document alone that has profits with it, that's attached to an iska, then sheshanim. So either a statute of limitations of 3 years or a statute of limitation of 6 years. I saw in a recent edition of Rabbi Meir Orlean's weekly business halacha column, he quoted Chazon Ish, Choshe Mishpat Siman Kaf Beis, I write about this Nesivos. Halacha L'maisa Yesh Lishol Bazeh Es Pi Gedol Yador Sheyichyu. So whether this minhag of the Nesivos is binding, has any currency now, you have to ask the Gedol Yador. So someone writes, he quoted in this journal, Vasisa Yashav Atov, Volume 18, of Rabbi Yitzchak Meir Blasberg, a Chassidish Adayin Eretz Yisrael, that he asked around and he couldn't find a straight answer. But Rabbi Rotzon Arusi, chief rabbi of Kiryat Ono, Chaver Moeset Rabbi Nitha Rashit Liyisrael, writes in an article in his journal, Shari Tzedek, Volume Bays, that he quotes certain communities that had such a practice along the lines of the Nesivos, but he points out that the overwhelming practice in most communities up to this day was not the Nesivos, not to have any such blanket restriction against collecting old loans, that to the extent that the minhag existed, it was in limited communities and limited circumstances. That seems to be the case, that generally speaking, the point of departure for halachic discussion should be that there is no statute of limitations on collecting a loan or collecting unpaid wages or the like. That being the case, then to what extent does halacha recognize any secular law statute of limitations? So this is a twofold question. Number one, does Dina de Mechusa Dina in any way govern? Is there a Dina de Mechusa Dina component that we're bound by secular law statutes limitations? And if not, is there possibly still a Minhag HaSochrim, a market convention, where, as we know from the Sugya of Socher HaSapolim, that a Kol Kaminhag HaMedina, when it comes to transactional, commercial matters, local custom governs many things. So on the Dina de Mechusadina front, I don't think we've discussed Dina de Mechusadina in this forum before. We don't have time to be ma'arach now, but just very briefly, the general approaches to the scope of Dina de Mechusadina, position of the Mechaber in consistently through Simen Shin Samech Tes in Choshe Mishpat is more limited. As the Mechaber writes in Siv Ches, that Dina de Mechusa Dina is generally limited to matters where there's a direct benefit accruing to the government, to the king, as a result of that law. The Ramah has a more expansive understanding of Dina de Mechusa Dina. As Sma points out, there may be differences in formulation between the Ramah in Siv Ches there and the Ramah in Siv Yud Aleph and Siman Shin Samach Tes. But the last line there, the Ramah in Shin Samach Tes, is Lor min adina de mechusa el bedavar sheyesh bo hana lemelech o shehu letakanas b'nei ha-medina. That dina de mechusa dina is relevant if it's something where the king benefits or there is some social benefit for the b'nei ha-medina. It doesn't have to be a benefit to the government per se, but there's some social interest that is generated by this particular din. However, Dina Mechusa Dina doesn't mean that if you have a local dispute between two Jews, and it doesn't really have any broader social relevance, it doesn't mean that the dispute between those two Jews should be governed based on local law as opposed to halacha. And the Shach famously has a somewhat more restrictive understanding, Simon Ayin Gimel, Sifkan Batun Lamed Vav, Ayin Gimel Lamed Vav, and other places as well, that Dina de Mechusa Dina, even if we work with the Ramah's more expansive understanding, can't go against Dina Torah. That you can't have a Dina de Mechusa Dina where you follow local law if that's in contravention to halacha. And Rav Shachter always quotes from the Chazon Ish that Chazon Ish said there's no such thing, meaning there's no lacuna in halacha. Halacha has what to say about everything. So you can't have something where there's no halacha doesn't have what to say. But that's the position of the Shach. You could fine tune exactly to formulate the Shach to still account for the Chazon Ish's concern. But the Shach says Dina Nechusa Dina doesn't apply where it contravenes Dina Yisrael. So this discussion is particularly relevant in the context of a more common scenario that doesn't really have a precedent in halacha, but is very Dina de Mechusa Dina centered, and that is the question of bankruptcy in halacha. There's no halachic notion of bankruptcy. If a person doesn't have assets, that doesn't cancel loans, and a creditor would be able to collect from any assets that accrue later on. So the notion, the secular law notion of bankruptcy is not something that that exists in halacha. Nevertheless, there may be a Dina de Mechusa Dina component where halacha gives deference to bankruptcy law. Ramosha, among others, Ramosha Chayli Beisim and Samach Beisim Choshe Mishpat, does have a liberal acceptance, at least to some extent, of American bankruptcy law. Not all possibly agree, but that is the general Mahalach HaMechuver. Rabbi Reis pointed out, he asked us in an article that was reprinted in his Sefer, that when it comes to bankruptcy, there's another consideration which would point us more in a Dina de Mechusadina direction, and that's based on a tshuva that the Beis Yosef quotes in Simon Shin Samach Tes of Rabbi Yaakov Yisrael. Not sure who the tshuva of Rabbi Yaakov Yisrael is, but he quotes from this tshuva, Rabbeinu Yaakov Yisrael. That the Dina Nuchus Adina is relevant in a situation where the Malchus is makbid if you don't follow that din. And this appears in the Aliyas de Benion as well, Bava Basin and Hayim and Alv. We'll read from there. Kagon Shehinaga Melech Shetol Chazaka Lagoi Ba'arbin Shinin. So let's say there's a local rule that Chazaka exists after 4 years of possession. Hilkach Goy Shalakach Misa the Hichzik Ba'arbaim Shana. To Arbaim Shana, 40 years of possession, Kesa Chazaka. So if a guy buys property from Israel, and is holding on to it for 40 years, Kufka Misa B'dina Malchusa. So that is removed from the Yisrael's possession, B'dina de Malchusa, B'zacha by Yisrael, Afilu ima Yagzula B'yagai, Kevan She'ein Sham Edig Zela, etc. Vafilu impirish vihitel and akasal Yisrael. Kevin Shayach Yisrael, Lakov is Chaver Bidina Yisrael, Vena Melakofa Saladun, Baoso Dina and Mahanagas Jehenig, Nimsa Shalapakas Husa Shayasa Machmas Osa Dina Machusa Dina, Elim Kane Hala Chaver Ladim of Nayar Kos Shalambadan, Osama Dina Machusa, Shalakova Melakosa Dina Yisrael, Ella the Indian Shiaduna Osama Kos Shalahem Kach, Misham Tina Lay the Baisal, Shakofis Chaver Ladim Arkos. Shalahan, that the Akum insists that in these matters of Chazak on land, it has to be judged based on the principles and in the forum of Arkos Shalahan. So there is this strain that Dina Malchus Adina is relevant or more relevant where the Malchus is actually makbid. So when it comes to, let's say, U.S. bankruptcy law, the Malchus is very makbid that you can't attempt to collect a loan from someone who's declared bankruptcy. And that would be enforceable, which significantly would impede a business ability to deal with such matters, even if they wanted to. But that may be different than a statute of limitations. A statute of limitations means that the courts aren't going to collect a loan on your behalf or enforce collection, but there's no broader governmental interest in preventing someone from collecting a loan beyond the statute of limitation, definitely not on the level that exists when it comes to bankruptcy protection. So one could argue that even if Dina de Malchus Adina would force us to conform with U.S. bankruptcy law, that wouldn't necessarily apply to statute of limitations. Rabbi Ratzon Arusi, in his article, thinks that as far as Dina Malchus Adina, that shouldn't give any credence to statutes of limitations because, number one, that's against Din Torah, like the Shach's position that this is a kind of Dina Malchus that's against Dina Torah. And it's a case where it's Nogeya between Yisrael and Yisrael, which the Rama says that if it's against Dina Torah, we wouldn't judge such a case based on Dina de Malchusa. So that's his thinking, that Dina Malchusa Dina shouldn't play a role here. That's also the thinking of a tshuva in B'Mareya Bazak, the tshuvas from Kol Eretz Chemda in Eretz Yisrael. But what about Minhag HaSochrim? Are there grounds to say that people that engage in any commercial activity in a country where there's a state where there's a statute of limitations is work with the understanding that they forfeit their right to collect after the statute of limitations expires. So we do have Ramosha with a definition of Minhag HaSochrim, Chelek Aleph Siman Ayin Beis, Choshe Mishpat Chelek Aleph Siman Ayin Beis. The case of Ramosha is dealing with there is a landlord and tenant situation where Alpi local custom, you don't have the ability to evict a tenant, even though according to Lacha, you may be able to evict the tenant. And there Moshe writes that there's a strong minhag ha'sochrim. He doesn't go with Dina de Mechusa here, but he says as far as minhag ha'sochrim is expansive. And he writes, to have a minhag ha'sochrim that's binding, it doesn't have to be a minhag that's created by Chachmei Torah. The gam afal up to Yehudim dafka, doesn't have to be created by Jews. Dafshin higuzan achrim kagon shehem rov toshrei air, if it's created by the local society and the majority of the population is not Jewish, nami umidina Torah bistama kafiya minag da daita de minag air, nashaf kiyasna bistama. So if you're engaging in any kind of commercial activity, you're engaging in, you're renting real estate, so you're bound by the minhag ha'sochrim, by the minhag of Medina, even if that's not something that was created by Jews or by a halachic reality. Nevertheless, it's not at all apparent that that kind of minhag ha'sochrim necessarily transferred to a statute of limitations on a claim of an unpaid loan or unpaid wages or payment for services rendered. It's hard to necessarily believe that any person that engages, that takes out a loan or has a job, is doing so a daita d'hachi, that is going to be mochel, even a chol bar, even where it's clear that money is owed, because of this notion of minhag ha'sochrim. However, in some of the articles coming out of Eretz Yisrael, Mendel Shafran, one of the big dayanim in Eretz Yisrael, big bezin personalities, has a piece in the Journal of Asisa Tova Yashar, Volume 1, along these lines, and others, that let's say you have a claim that itself is rooted in minhag, a claim that's not itself halachically grounded. For example, they're talking in an Eretz Yisrael context where there are certain claims for employment benefits that a person is not necessarily entitled to alpi halacha, or severance that you're not entitled to alpi halacha. So if someone comes and claims severance in Bez and Eretz Yisrael, and they're not halachically entitled to severance, but they're entitled to severance because of the local minhag ha'sochrim, but you're claiming it after the expiration of statute of limitations, so you can't get it too. You can claim that you're not bound by the norm of the statute of limitations, but you are bound by the minhag ha'sochrim norm of whatever employment benefits you're seeking to collect. So that much, they may be skeptical about halachic deference to a statute of limitations, but where the statute of limitations is governing something that's not a halachic chov anyway, so then you can have it both ways. Rav Bloy in the Pischei Choshen, volume 2, the volume on Halva, Perek Beis, footnote 72, he entertains that maybe minhag ha'sochrim could govern on a statute of limitations case, but he doesn't really develop it so much. But he does have that possibility. So to some extent, it's a little bit of an open question. It would seem that where there's a clear chov and there's a reasonable amount as to why it wasn't collected until now, for whatever the reason is. In New York, New Jersey, statute of limitations in most cases is about 6 years. I think 6 years for regular loans, for employment matters, for rental payment. I saw in New Jersey, 16 years. New York is 6 years, but most of these are around 6 years. States have different guidelines. But it would seem that if there's a reasonable explanation as to why the person didn't collect it until now, and you're just past the statute of limitations, and no one's disputing the fact that the money is owed, it would be hard to hide behind, it'd be hard for Besdin to ignore that just because of statute of limitations. But where the other considerations, even if it's not on the level of Russia's Din Maruma, but it's not such a chalvara. The Nitba doesn't acknowledge that he owed the money, and the Tovea can't prove it, so or prove it as well. So it could be the bar for proof might be lower in a case that where the statute of limitations has already expired and everything would have to obviously be evaluated on its merits. Well, that's one of the bases of Dina Malchusa. The question is so most assume Dina Malchusa, Dina is a Din D'Oraisa. It could be one of the bases for if it is a Din D'Oraisa, it's based on Hefker, Bez, and Hefker. So that could be the whole mechanism. But that's the mechanism. You still have to justify where it applies based on the other particulars that where Din Malchusa, Din apply, which we didn't really have time to get into.
Good point. You're really going to here.
So the argument would be that minigas socher means that you agree that all your commercial activities should be governed by local practice, and local practice is regulated by a whole host of statutes and.
But
it's
not for the rush that where he says the rumah, the just walks away.
Right. Right.
Something analogous to this case is that spotted race.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the spotted race, you know, this the owner has to come back 20 years later.
Right.
The squatter doesn't own the land. He's been living in the last 20 years. There's such a thing as spotted race.
And there's such a thing as chesed about them, but
right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Your bankruptcy is probably the closest by analogy to statute of limitations, but there it's a much stronger reason to be deferential to bankruptcy.
Like you said, they don't have a policy interest.
Right. Right. To the extent that there's a policy interest by statute of limitations, it's not to burden people with having to hold on to documents for so long, probably.
Right.
Right. I'm talking about financial matters, correct? Okay.